That school bell tells us it is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And if you've been attending all of these classes, you are now attending class number 121. And we're talking about the life of Christ as it is given to us in the book of Luke. And in just a moment, we're going to explore the question, why Jesus must be born of a woman? Well, that's like a statement. If there's a question, why must Jesus be born of a woman? And so we're going to see how E.A. Elam answers that in just a moment. The bulk of our study is going to come from Luke chapter 2, and so you may want to turn there and be ready to follow along in your Bible. The Bible is the textbook for the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now, let me remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and then superintendent of this radio Bible school, and our teacher is E.A. Elam, who comes to us by way of what he had written many years ago for the churches to use in Sunday schools, and we're currently looking at a lesson, a Sunday school lesson, that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday of October the 8th, 1922. And we're in the introduction, and the introduction says, why Jesus must be born of a woman. As we were concluding in our last class, we see that Jesus came at the appropriate time and was born under the law. And we read that from Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But let me read another passage that backs this up. Ephesians 1, verses 9 through 14. It says here that God is making known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in heavens and the things upon the earth, in Him, I say, in whom also we were made an heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we should be unto the praise of His glory, who had before hoped in Christ, in whom ye also, having heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now here's how Elam addresses that question about why Jesus must be born of a woman. You see, before His birth on earth, Jesus existed as the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. I want to read to you in that, and we were suggested here to read the opening words of the Gospel of John, and we'll read the first 14 verses. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. he came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We read this summary of Jesus in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, where it says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, received up in glory. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. It was after the manifestation in his flesh that his name is Jesus. And that is when he is called the Son of Man. Why must he be born of woman? He must be born of woman in order to become flesh. And he must become flesh in order to suffer and die for the race. He must suffer and weep and be tempted in order to become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God and to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let me read to you some passages along that line in the book of Hebrews. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 2. Let me turn over to there. Here it is, Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Since then the children are sharers in the flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had power of death, that is, the devil, and that he might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, not to the angels doth he give help, but he giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let me look also at the book of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Having then a great high priest, who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 5, and going down through verse 9, it says, so Christ also glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that spake unto him, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who, in the days of his flesh, having offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and having been heard for his godly fear, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became unto all them that obey him the author of eternal salvation. We read in our Sunday school book how that God prepared for him a body. And we read about this in the text in Hebrews chapter 10. And I'll read Hebrews 10 verses 4 through 10. It says, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body didst thou prepare me. For an whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Saying above, Sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure in them, the which are offered according to the law. Then hath he said, Lo, I am come to do thy will. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by which we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He bore our sins in his body upon the tree, and by his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And so when the fullness of time came for Jesus to be born, Gabriel, as we have learned, appeared to Mary at Nazareth and declared to her that she should become the mother of the Son of God. Now let's read about the birth of Jesus. The scriptures relating the facts concerning the birth of Jesus are not embraced in this lesson, hence the subject is not embraced by it. But we can read about that. We read about it in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and also in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 2:15. And in Luke, it's in Luke 2, 1 through 39, they give the facts concerning the birth of Jesus, the visit and song of the angels, the visit of wise men, the presentation in the temple, the flight into Egypt, the destruction by Herod of the babes in Bethlehem. After the death of Herod, the angel directed Joseph to take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, which he did. It seems that he intended to make his home in Judea, probably at Bethlehem, but learning that Archelaus ruled in that country instead of his father and being warned of God not to go there, he withdrew and went into his own city, Nazareth. In the guidance and care of God, Jesus was protected in Egypt, and the prophecy was fulfilled. Out of Egypt did I call my son, Matthew 2:15. He was brought up at Nazareth, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, He should be called a Nazarene, Matthew 2:23. Now, in the explanatory notes for our text, we read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 that the child grew and waxed stronger, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He was first a babe, and he grew in stature. Look at verse 52. And waxed strong physically, filled with wisdom. The margin says becoming full of wisdom. And verse 52 says he advanced in wisdom. He gained wisdom by application and use of proper means. The grace of God was upon him. God's favor was about him to protect him, as from Herod and other dangers, and to furnish him with such means of physical and mental developments as were necessary. Jesus had to grow in every way. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 41, we see that his parents went every year to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover. The Feast of the Passover, three times a year shall all males appear before Jehovah thy God, in the place where he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, Deuteronomy 16:16. See also Leviticus 23 and Exodus chapter 12. The Passover occurred in the spring. The women were not required to go, but were allowed to go, and frequently did go. And by reading these references of those who went in the Old Testament, we learn what the Passover was and why it was observed. That's as far as we'll get today. Put your marker at Luke chapter 2, and we'll come back for the next class session. And until then, this old schoolmaster says, You may be dismissed.